we bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. We say that so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together, so we're glad that you're here. There is an outline on the back of the bulletin this morning, so I sometimes ask my brethren to look around and make sure everyone has one if they would like one to follow along. So, title of the lesson is simply those seven directions in which to look, biblically. I also kind of have subtitled mine, a good-looking Christian. Are you good at looking in the right direction? Yeah, Jim's going to take it personally. Yeah, of course I'm good-looking.
That's what you mean.
I want you to be a good-looking Christian. I saw the newspaper in the comic strip. Three boxes. In the first box, there's a man standing on the corner by the traffic light, and he's looking up. And in the second box, it has him looking down. And in the third box, he's in a hospital bed, all wrapped up and all kinds of things there, and his visitor says, "Are you sure you look both ways before crossing the street?" Says, "Of course I did. I looked both ways." We're going to talk about looking this morning and looking in the right direction. You recognize our life as a life of looks. A life of looks. People say to us, "Look at this." When I'm driving, Christine reminds me to look where you're driving. I like to look around. I like to enjoy the sights too. Sometimes people will recommend something, say, "I like the way this looks." At traffic accidents, sometimes those people on the opposite side of the road will refer to them as looky-loos. They want to see what's going on. When I was a child, there was a television program called Superman. It always began with people saying, "Look, up in the sky. It's a bird, it's a plane." No, it's Superman. Every morning when we get up, we look in the mirror and we begin to make adjustments with our looks. This lesson is about spiritual looks. In the text that was read to us, Ephesians 5, verse 15, says, "See that you walk circumspectly." When you walk circumspectly, it means that you look carefully how you look, how you walk. You look in all directions. When you walk circumspectly, it means you're aware of your surroundings. You take a look. When we're walking, we might want to be sure we're looking for a smooth path. We want to beware of pitfalls or hazards or obstacles. We want to take a look in the direction we're going. And that's what this is about. I want you to take a look in the direction you're going spiritually. We walk carefully in life. Many times because we want to avoid dangerous situations. Now I want you to be careful how you walk spiritually in the direction in which you look. So I've listed seven directions this morning in our lesson. Seven directions in which to look. Number one, look upward, first of all, in prayer. In John chapter 17, verse 1, says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father," and then it begins to the text of what Jesus prayed for. But he lifted up his eyes. Look up. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, the psalmist said, "My voice you will hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I'll direct my prayer to you, and I will look up." Look up. Now I know when we pray, we usually bow. We always say, eyes closed, hands folded. And typically that's for the purpose of eliminating distractions. We want to focus, so we don't take care of those outside distractions. So that's typically our posture for prayer. But I want us to look up, not necessarily in physical posture, it's okay. You can pray with eyes lifted up. But I want you to look up with spiritual eyes, meaning spend time seeing God when you pray. Whether your head bowed, eyes closed, hands folded, or your eyes might be head this way, not concerned necessarily with the physical posture. I just want you to see God when you pray. Talk to Him. God, I need you again today. Look up. Look up in prayer. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 6, in nothing be anxious, but in everything, everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Look up. Look up. Even in, not just in prayer, but in attitude of life, Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 1, if you are risen with Christ, which we are as Christians, count me in, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. So one of the first directions I want you to look or consider looking is looking up in prayer and in attitude of life. Look up. Second, look downward. Look downward. First of all, in humility, lowliness of mind, absence of vanity and arrogance, lack of pretentiousness. When you look up and see God and His majesty and might, that should cause us to look down. I'm reminded of a contest that was held to find the most humble person in the land. And the search went out. Find the most humble person. And finally they found someone and selected that one. And they awarded this person the medal that said, most humble. But then they had to take it away from him because he wore it proudly. I'm the most humble. Well, not now. But we want to look down in humility. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 12, put on, therefore, like you would put a garment on, wrap this around you. You know, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, humility. Humility. Look down in caution. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it said, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We want to look down in caution. Look where you walk. Watch out. Same thing spiritually. Look out. Watch where you walk. Look at where you're going. I remember a children's song sang in my youth. It said, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Then go, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little feet, where you go. And then the last stanza, we would say, well, so watch your eyes, your ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. Watch your eyes, your ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. So watch your eyes, your ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. We always got to kick a sing really fast. Watch your eyes, your ears, your lips, your hands, your feet. So look down. Look down. Number three is to look forward. And I put this one, to look forward in hope. If you hope for something, it means you have an expectation of fulfillment. I'm hoping for something. It means I have a confident expectation. I hope. And it has to do with the unseen and the future. I'm hoping. It means I have some trust in my life. And most of us are always looking forward to something. Oh, I hope this takes place. Or I hope to go here in the future. I hope this happens. I hope. I want you to look forward in hope. Paul said in Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life. I want to look forward to that. I look forward to eternal life. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. I'm looking forward to eternal life. God promised that. I have great expectations for that. I have a desire for that fulfillment to take place. Hope for eternal life. I hope in confidence also, meaning having that conviction, that assurance, that trust. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, for we know, and I always like those words when the Apostle Paul says, we know something. We know. And here's our expectation. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, when this body dies, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in verse 8, he says, we're confident, knowing. Yeah. I want you to look forward. Look forward to those things that God has promised for us eternally. Look forward. You know, we sing songs that express that. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm looking forward to that. We sing a song, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know. We sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Yeah, confidence. We sing, we're marching to Zion. Expectation. Yeah. Hope. Eternal life. Yeah. So I want to look up. Look down, look forward. And then number four, look backward. Look backward. We do, this is something that we do in life. You know, we've heard the expression, those that don't know history are bound to repeat mistakes. So some things we want to look back at. Oh, I remember when I did that, don't want to do that again. Oh, we look back. Or we look back at something good. Oh, that's what I want to do again. We look back. On the spiritual side, in worship, we look back to Jesus' life and sacrifice. One reason for assembly is to give that glory and that honor to God and to give Him praise and express His attributes of majesty and power and might. God, we come before You now to give You this praise. And one way to do that, we look back when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And when Jesus instituted that table there, as we call it in our worship assembly, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's take a look back in our worship assembly. Let's take a look back when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. In our prayers, we thank God for the sacrifice Jesus made 2,000 years ago. We look back. Many of our songs take us back to that amazing grace of God. We sing about that event of the crucifixion. The song we sang before the Lord's Supper this morning, it took us back where Jesus said, I gave my life for you. Yeah. In our preaching, many times we tell that old story. We take a look back. There's a time for that. Number five, take a look forward. A look forward. Now it's self-examination time, or inward, I mean, look inward. Self-examination time. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, try yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. All right, so now we take our Bibles out and we see, am I measuring up to what God says? I want to examine myself. I want to take a look inward. I want to see if I meet the expectations that God has for me. I want to see the things that he said in his word and the writings that, that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches. Let me look at that. Jesus said it in Luke 6, verse 46. He said, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things I say?" That's a good question. Why would someone call Jesus Lord, Lord, but not do the things he says? So now I'm going to ask myself, in Luke 13, verse 3, have I repented? I'm going to ask myself, have I been baptized? Look inward and say, do I desire, as Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, do I desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that I may grow? I see in God's Word in Hebrews 10, verse 23, that I'm not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the custom of some people is. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, am I a faithful servant? In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, when I'm giving, do I give cheerfully? Self-examination time. I want to take a look inward now. Is my heart right with God? Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study. Show yourself approved unto God. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. Prove yourself. Look inward. Brian, am I doing that? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So I want to try myself, prove myself, to make sure I'm standing on God's side. Make sure that others know to whom I belong. Take a look inside. Look inward. Number 6, should look outward. Look outward. First of all, in vigilance. Jesus said it in Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch. Take a look out. Watch. Walk circumspectly. Look around. Set your affections on things above. Look out. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, be sober and be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I want to take a look around. Make sure I'm going to the right places and not the wrong ones. I want to look for opportunities to help a brother. Galatians 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. I want to look out, eyes wide open. See someone here, so we ask the question, what do you need? Watch out, look out. How can I help you? Let me get that for you. Watch outward. Look for the opportunities to bless someone else. And then the last one. Number 7, similar to number 1 when we look up, but now let's look Christward for salvation. Look Christward for salvation. People look to a lot of sources for a successful, healthy life here. You know, we watch the programs that promote healthiness. We listen to what the doctor may say. There's self-help books, lots of those 10 and 12 self-help step programs. They're all designed to be successful here. They're designed to relieve the stress of earthly life. But God offers eternal life. He offers salvation through His Son. And I want to look Christward for salvation. I'm not going to look at a modern-day guru. I'm not going to look at self-realization. I'm not going to look at meditation. I'm not looking at astrology. I'm not looking at Buddha or Muhammad or Oprah. They don't have the message of eternal life. Matthew 1 verse 21 says, concerning the birth of Jesus, you'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Nobody else. Nobody else. He, singular. God sent his son, one. Jesus said it in his ministry in John 14 verse 6. I am the way, not a way among many. I am the way, one way. I am the truth, not a truth among many. I'm the truth. I am the life, not a life among many others that's offered to us. No, I am the life. He that comes to God, or no one comes to God but by me. Nobody else. Nobody else. I want you to look, the last look is to look Christward for your salvation. Not to the other gurus that the world offers. Hebrews 5 verse 9 says, he, meaning Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him. He's the author of eternal salvation. Obey him. And Jesus said it too in Luke 6 verse 66. In his ministry he was preaching, and he said some hard sayings. Some things that the disciples didn't like to hear. And then it says in John 6 verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus, I don't like what you're saying. I don't like the demands you're making on my life. You know, we followed you all the way up to here, but what you've been saying and preaching and praying about has really been good. Oh, I liked that, loved it. Oh, say, preach us some more. But then he gave some hard sayings. And from that time, many of his disciples went back. They walked no more with him. Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Peter said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? If you leave Jesus, who are you going to go to? To whom will you go if you leave Jesus? Peter continued, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and we know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we know. When we think about the looks that we can take, I want you to look upward in prayer and praise. Look downward in humility. Look forward in hope, hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. Look backward in remembrance of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Take a look back. Look inward. Am I right with God? Look outward. Opportunities to help someone. Look Christward for salvation. So the question we ask in closing is, how do you look? All of these are important looks. But salvation begins with this last look. Looking to Jesus, Christward for salvation. Don't look anywhere else. It begins here in obedience. At the close of each lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. It's a song of invitation. As Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, come unto me. All of you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He can do that. And that's the invitation we extend. If you've heard the good news that God so loved the world, he gave his son, and you believe it, as Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Belief is important. You believe the message. Jesus also said in Luke 13, verse 3, except you repent, you'll perish. So Jesus says, I want you to preach my gospel to all the world. I want people to hear the message. I want them to believe it, and I want them to repent, turn their life around. Turn toward me, Jesus says. And then I want you to make that confession of faith. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And based upon that, in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, the closing verses, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the invitation we extend. I didn't make it up. That invitation was not formed by a committee, a council. That invitation was never formulated by man. It was formulated by Jesus, the Son of God. And what he said he'll do, he will do it. So let's stand together. We'll sing a song of encouragement that Vince has elected for us. That's your desire to become a Christian by being baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that this morning. So let's sing this song. If we need to respond in a public way, just simply come while we're singing this song and let your request be known. So Dennis.